there, it's Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com, and today we are extremely fortunate to have Phil Chapman, who is a Google AdWords expert, on the line with us. And Phil actually hails from the executive offline world, and he's experienced quite a remarkable success offline, and he's basically taken his offline success and duplicated it online. I guess one of the most successful products that Phil has is How to Succeed with Google AdWords. It's an ebook that Phil's put together based on both his research and his practical experience. And we're going to discuss the ebook a little bit and pick Phil's brains about Google AdWords and find out exactly how you can use Google AdWords to maximize the traffic that you're going to be getting to your website. So I guess I'd like to first off just say thank you very much for being with us today, Phil.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me, Terry.
Thanks so much. Just to get a little bit more acquainted with you, Phil, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up where you are now.
Sure. Well, my background is in management, basically, both in marketing and retail. I predominantly work for two major companies in the UK. The first was Homebase, a DIY chain with about 230 stores nationwide, and Sainsbury's, which is a food retailer with around 440 food supermarkets in the UK with a yearly turnover around £8 billion, which is about $14 billion. I was responsible for some, I suppose, fairly large projects in these companies, including the year 2000 predicted computer meltdown project for Homebase, and most recently one whose target was to save £100 million a year for Sainsbury's by simplifying the operations in their supermarkets. And then following some major board changes in the year 2000, the project I was working on was going to be changed so drastically I hardly recognised it myself, and one of the options I had was a, I'm pleased to say, a pretty generous severance package, which I took and set up business of my own.
Excellent.
We currently have two websites with several more on the way, and a marketing company, which I suppose is basically how I started to become involved with AdWords in a big way.
So you, did you have any online experience before when you were in the offline world? Were you also dabbling in the online world?
No, not at all. Until the year 2000, when we set up our first oil paintings website, I'd only ever experienced the internet as a kind of casual surfer, I suppose. I mean, I did use it for research in some of the projects I did with Homebase and Sainsbury's, but certainly no experience with internet marketing, in inverted commas.
Right. So this is, you've had now 6 years of experience online.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, it is about 6 years, yes.
Excellent. When did you start using Google AdWords?
Well, I suppose it was probably a couple of years ago now. I mean, it was something that I got into, and funny enough, one of the reasons that I thought of writing the book was my first explorations into Google AdWords were pretty fruitless, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And I suppose in common with a lot of people, I just started off using their guidelines that Google provide on the site, and as excellent as Google are in all sorts of ways, I guess it's not really in their best interest to tell people that there's quite a lot to it other than just getting a group of keywords together and writing a couple of ads and putting everything in the Google AdWords pot.
That's
and
true.
I started off reading, I mean, I suppose I've read, listened to, and studied all the major AdWords players. Perry Marshall is a guy who's is sort of pretty widely recognised in internet marketing as being an expert on AdWords. There's also a guy called Andrew Goodman, who's a leading authority. And I bought one book, and then I bought another book, and then I bought Chris Carpenter's Google Cache, and then I listened to some audios and bought some more things. And I just felt what was lacking was, whilst these guys are tremendously knowledgeable, there's no question about that. I mean, in a lot of cases, their whole business is based around AdWords consulting for other companies. And whilst they've got tremendous experience, what I didn't feel was in their books was some sort of logical structure and methodology of putting the whole thing together for somebody, well, both for somebody who hadn't used it extensively before and for somebody to refer to who'd got an existing campaign that they'd like to improve in some way or another.
Okay.
And that's what, I suppose, formed the idea for writing the book, really.
Excellent. I think Maybe before we get right in, maybe we should define exactly what Google AdWords is in case somebody's not too familiar with it.
Yes, no problem at all. I'm going to work on the basis that everyone's heard of Google search engine.
Yes.
that's a fairly safe given, I suppose.
I hope so.
And you'll probably know that if you search for any kind of phrase on Google, there's a column down the right side of their search results pages, which are where all their ads are displayed, and it's got sponsored listings at the top, and the amount of AdWords they have depends on how many advertisers they have for various keywords that are being searched for.
And then at the top, like you mentioned, there's sponsored ads. Is that an AdWord at the top as well?
Are you talking about right at the top above the generic?
Yeah, above the generic listings, where it says sponsored links.
Yeah, well, sometimes there's ads there, but not always. Generally speaking, where they do have ads there, they're advertisers that Google have formed some sort of special relationship with, either because of the length of time they've been using it and the amount of money they've given to Google,
okay,
or they're ads that are particularly successful in terms of how many people are clicking on them in relation to how many times they're displayed.
So those aren't actually Google AdWords that are on the top then?
Oh yeah, the first one or two where they're with a different color background.
Yep.
If there are, but they're not at the top of every search result page. It depends on what search term you've used.
Right.
But where they do appear, they're generally speaking the best performing AdWords for that particular search phrase.
Okay, so
but the majority of the AdWords ads, there's only ever a maximum of two at the top, if there are any at the top. But generally speaking, all the AdWords ads are displayed in the column on the right of the page.
Okay. All right, that's cool. So the ones, when we're speaking about AdWords, we're talking about the ones on the right-hand side then.
Sure.
Okay, that's cool. Google at one point, before the AdWords, was strictly a search engine. Then they started getting into the pay-per-click search engine, which is, of course, AdWords.
Yeah.
They're not original. I think probably the most recognized one before Google AdWords, the most recognized pay-per-click, was probably Overture. So what's the big difference then between using Google AdWords and Overture or some other pay-per-click search engine?
Well, there's no doubt about it that currently Google AdWords and Overture are the two biggest pay-per-click search engines by miles. And I think in recent months, Google has probably overtaken Overture in terms of its popularity as a pay-per-click search engine. And the biggest advantage with Google AdWords compared to Overture really is the fact that you can set up an AdWords campaign and have your ads displaying on their search engine results pages in about 15 minutes.
Right.
Whereas with Overture, typically it takes 3 to 5 days as a human being reviews any of the ads before they actually accept them into their search network. So that's probably the most significant thing. The other significant difference is that Google applies a combination of the price paid per click by the advertiser and the popularity of each ad to determine how high up the page the ad is displayed on their search pages. So in other words, Google actually rewards the fact that the ad is relevant to the searcher, whereas Overture, you pay your money and you get the position based on how much money per click you're prepared to pay. So if you pay the most cents dollars per click, you'll be at the top of the results on Overture, which isn't necessarily the case on Google because it works on this combination of popularity and price.
Okay, so where is it more successful to be? Should you be in both or basically just be in one?
Well, what I always suggest and what we do ourselves is start with Google, because it's so quick to get started. You can, as I said earlier, you can start a campaign and you can have your ads being displayed in 15, 30 minutes time. Well, you just can't do that on Overture.
Right.
And Google is the most popular search engine, so typically you'll generate the highest volume of traffic from Google. But then once you've established a successful campaign with Google, by all means, use Overture as your next port of call, and then go to some of the more minor pay-per-click search engines just to make sure you've got a bigger pool of traffic as you can muster for your website.
Okay, but then do you end up maybe spreading yourself too thin? You're spending a lot of money that you could really be just focusing into Google and getting more?
Well, I think one of the misapprehensions a lot of businesses are under is the fact that it's a cost rather than investment. Mm-hmm. If you've set up a process with Google which works and has a positive return on investment for the money you're putting into advertising with AdWords, then there's no earthly reason why that same sort of process won't work with anything else. So yes, you'll be paying out more in terms of your advertising spend, but only in direct relation to how much profit you're making from that expenditure.
Right, okay.
But certainly until people get more experience, if you're just starting out with pay-per-click advertising, it makes most sense to stick with Google, because you should generate the biggest amount of traffic from Google that you'll get from any of the pay-per-clicks. And once you're set up with Google and familiar with it, then by all means go to the other pay-per-click search engine, starting with Overture, to add additional traffic.
Okay, cool. Maybe what we could do is take a look at basically the process that we would go through to set up a Google AdWords campaign. If we have in your ebook that you've mentioned that you take a computer business and take that computer business and go through the process, can you basically give us the overview of what kind of a process we need to go through, assuming that we have a website set up for our product already?
Yeah, sure. The vast majority of people, the biggest mistake they make is by starting it all at Google. Mm-hmm. And the process of running a successful AdWords pay-per-click campaign starts with research. And I know this probably isn't very exciting to most businesses, and it's the very reason that doing it first will give you a tremendous advantage over the vast majority of competitors you may have. Because most people just go to Google, they go through the account setup guidelines that Google has on the AdWords site, they add some keywords that they've either decided in advance represent what the customers are looking for, and or use the search tool for keywords that Google provide, called the Sandbox, to expand their list of keywords. And there's a massive disadvantage in doing it that way, and that's the fact that virtually everyone does it that way.
Okay.
So to differentiate yourself from the vast majority of your competition, if you do the research first, obviously you'll give yourself a far better opportunity to succeed with AdWords than other people in your business.
And what kind of research are we talking about?
Well, basically, it's fundamentally keyword research is the key thing.
Okay.
There's loads of... Perhaps one thing that might be useful is to tell you the disadvantages with adopting a strategy like of going to Google as the first port of call. First is you'll find yourself bidding on the most popular keywords for whatever your business may be, which also makes them the most expensive in terms of the cost per click that you'll have to pay for those keywords. Secondly, you tend to get very loosely targeted visitors to your website. And using the computer business example that you mentioned in the question that I covered in detail in the ebook, by this I mean that somebody searching for computers isn't likely to purchase the new external Sony DVD rewriter drive that you just bought 10,000 of.
Okay.
And what you'll tend to find is that clearly somebody searching for external drives would represent a better prospect for you, and somebody searching for external DVD rewriter drives gives even better prospect. And if there's anybody out there searching for Sony DVD rewriter drives, you obviously hit the jackpot.
Right, okay.
And thirdly, it's far easier to manage an AdWords campaign that's designed to succeed from the start, in the sense that it's structured logically, rather than trying to make sense of something that grows organically as more keywords are added to it in the future. So it's very easy to plan this with a bit of thought, and it doesn't take long at all, but it can save you time and money as your Google AdWords campaign matures. And perhaps using our computer example again, it just means that you need to think about how the range of products that you sell could be grouped logically. So for example, desktop computers might be in a group, laptop computers might be in another group, printers and scanners, modems and routers, they could all be logical groups of products amongst the range of products that you're promoting within your business.
Okay. Why do we do that? What are we doing with these groups?
Well, what you're aiming to do is to have a group of words in an ad group that you can write one or two ads for. And obviously, the more closely related each of the words is that you put into an ad group, the more relevant one ad is going to be to represent those keywords.
Okay, so if I just want to make sure that I get this straight here. I've got a computer business that I sell desktop computers, laptops, and external hard drives.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do then is put a group of keywords together that represents only my desktop computers. I want to do another group of keywords that represents only my laptop computers, and another group of keywords that represents only my external hard drives.
That's right. I mean, we've plucked those sort of product groupings out of the air, and obviously somebody with a computer business that know the kind of products to group together, but to use that as an example. But the key thing to remember is that you're going to have an ad that represents those group of products that you want to target the people that are looking for those group of products to purchase.
Okay, so it's going to be, what I'm going to do with my ad then is going to be very, very specific. I'm not going to write an ad that's generic. You know, here's Terry's computer business.
Oh, no.
I'm going to write an ad that's Hewlett Packard Pavilion desktop computer, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the more specific, generally speaking, there's always a trade-off between putting three words in one ad group, which obviously takes a lot more work, and rather than putting sort of 500 words in one ad group.
Okay.
And three makes the process too arduous. 500, you can't hope to have one ad that targets 500 different search terms.
Right.
So it's difficult to be precise on them. There's not a right number of keywords in an ad group. The right number is determined by to what extent one ad can represent those keywords.
Okay, so I could have an ad that has, you know, maybe 10 keywords and another one that has 50.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And even more than that, if they're very, very closely related search terms.
Okay. So as long as they're closely related, I would be closely related within desktop computer. Just a question off the top of my head. If I have a desktop computers, that's one group of keywords that I want to have.
Yeah.
And I have 10 different desktop computers. Should I list each individual name of the computer, or how do I come up with the keywords or the list of keywords?
Well, there's a technique called dynamic keyword insertion, which you won't find anywhere on the Google website the last time I checked it out, but it basically enables you to put a default keyword as the headline of an ad. But depending on the search term, whatever somebody actually searches for can appear instead of the default. So let's take an example, it probably makes it clearer. In the headline of an ad, you could put desktop computers, and if your keywords actually included five different specific makes or types of desktop computers, you can use this dynamic keyword insertion facility to replace your default ad of desktop computers with the actual word that somebody has searched for, which, as you can imagine, is very, very powerful.
Right.
And if you to take an extreme case, the example I made in the book to clarify this whole concept. I mean, we use an example of widgets, we use scratches, actually, because so many people use widgets, just to be a bit different. And we just made up 18 different kinds of scratchet, depending on color and size, etc. And the beauty of dynamic keyword insertion is that Google will enable you to have your default headline replaced with each of those individual keywords that represent different kinds of scratchets, depending purely on what the searcher used as their keyword to search for. So, in other words, your keyword that's actually been searched for will always appear as the headline of the ad, which is very powerful.
So if somebody searches for HP Pavilion desktop computer, that's going to be what actually ends up in the headline of my Google AdWord.
Yeah, absolutely. And that obviously is far more likely to get the click than a generic headline of desktop computers.
Right. So where do I go about getting these keywords? I've got a computer company. I'm sure I can think of a bunch of things off the top of my head, but probably not enough keywords to be actual keywords that people are searching on. So where do I go to find out what are people actually looking for?
Well, that's a great question, Terry. I mean, it probably warrants an interview in its own right. But the most important point as I touched on earlier, is to make sure you don't do it only by gut feel and using the tool at Google. Although, like, in fairness, they are improving that, as you'd expect from Google, really. They are improving that tool all the time. In fact, I've got a great example of that from our first website, of why not to do your keyword research that way.
Okay.
Because when we started out on the internet with a site that sold and still sells high-quality oil paintings, now, I wouldn't, as an aside, I wouldn't set up an oil painting website if I'd known then what I've learned since. But anyway, that's where we started. And we got everyone together, including some friends and family, and brainstormed the phrases that we thought people would be typing into their favourite search engine if they wanted to buy a painting, which is obviously what we were selling. And the two phrases that were most popular in our discussion were oil paintings from photographs and old master reproductions, which sounded fair enough. I mean, within that kind of, not exactly an industry, but within that kind of business field, they were the phrases that people used to describe those products. And we spent hundreds of hours and hundreds of dollars in software to learn search engine optimization for ourselves to enable us to create web pages that should then rank highly in the search engines for those phrases. And this isn't talking about pay-per-click, this is talking about the generic search listings, which, i.e. just the database of pages that are within the search engines that cause pages to appear at the top of the rankings when people search for a particular term. So that was the free search engine listings, if you like, to differentiate it from pay-per-click.
Okay.
And we couldn't figure out why we weren't getting much traffic. And it wasn't until much later, as I gained more experience, that I realized why. And that was a simple fact that nobody was searching for those phrases.
Oh, no. So you've
got... We spent all that time, effort and money optimizing, actually learning search engine optimization from scratch,
yeah,
rather than pay anybody else to do it at the time. And we ended up being ranked highly for those pages, but it didn't result in us getting any traffic because nobody was actually searching for them.
Oh, no. So you get that same type of thing can happen with keywords for AdWords then?
Absolutely. I mean, the best advice I can give people is don't guess. You can go to a site called goodkeywords.com and download their free software that enables you to compile a keyword list for your own business of words that people are actually typing into search engines to find exactly what you sell. I mean, obviously that beats guessing every time.
Yeah, for sure. And what's the name of that site?
It's goodkeywords.com, all one word, lowercase.
Okay. And then you get a piece of software that actually gives you the real words that people are looking at.
Yeah, it actually gives you the facility to use different countries' databases. So if you're not, for example, based in the US, which obviously most of internet marketing products are written with the US in mind because it's the biggest market in terms of internet marketing and searches at the moment. But if you're not in the US, and particularly in a case where you haven't got a national or an international or a worldwide business, if you've got a local business in the UK, for example, you can pick UK Overture search engine and it will return the searches just for the UK, which of course is very useful.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Well, it certainly beats guessing, and by my own pretty staggering example, it saves you wasting a lot of time and or money in optimizing pages or, in the pay-per-click case, bidding for keywords that nobody's searching for anyway, which isn't really too clever. And I suppose the next thing is what we personally do. We always start off with good keywords, then we use an online service called Word Tracker to build an even larger list of keywords. I suppose the key thing is don't be content with 10, 20 or 30 keywords. Using just the good keywords tool, you can compile a couple of hundred keywords very quickly and easily. And if you add Word Tracker into the mix, that can easily become 1,000 keywords. And add to that the fact that AdWords also enables you to compile different matching options for keywords to determine when your ads get displayed, and you can easily double that list by using 2 out of 3 of the available matching options and then even adding some plurals of those keywords to the list you started with. So you can very quickly and easily start off with a list from good keywords that might be 100 or 200 and get up to 2,000 or 3,000.
Is that realistic though? Like you said before, though, I mean, how can you write an ad that would cover 3,000 words?
Well, in two ways. Obviously, you need to make sure that similar keywords, i.e. the keywords that relate to similar products, are grouped together. And that's mainly why I said earlier on that there's no limit on how many keywords you could have in one ad group. The only limit is to make sure they're all so closely related that one ad can represent them.
Okay.
And what you tend to find is the more keywords you get, they're very, very slight variations of something you may have already had in a list that gets in a list of keywords, which typically get higher volume searches. So to you, back to our computer example, computers will probably get hundreds of thousands of searches a month. Desktop computers might get thousands of searches a month. Laptop computers will get thousands. And so it goes on as you get more, as you go further down the order in terms of how many times that search term is actually used. There's a very close similarity between the words that people are typing in to search for.
Okay, so then you could end up with, well, let's say you start off with good keywords and you end up with 100 words, which are things like computer, desktop computer, laptop computer.
Yep.
Then going through the process, then you would also add computers, plural, laptop computers, plural, desktop computers, plural. So basically you could almost take every single search word and multiply that by maybe two or three, which are basically just slight variations of the same keyword.
Absolutely.
Okay, I got you.
And it's what a lot of advertisers don't do. I mean, admittedly, it takes a bit of time. And actually, while we've been having this conversation, I've just brought computer up within good keywords.
Uh-huh.
And last month, this is just on the US Overture search engine.
Uh-huh.
Last month, it had 2,411,789 searches.
Wow.
And the next one down is computer notebook,
uh-huh,
which obviously is a variant of laptop. And that had 1,175,000 searches. And then if you go down that list to number 100, because good keywords and using the Overture search engine gives you a total of 100 keywords, the bottom of that list is April Computer Day, which gives you 10,009. So there's a vast range there of different amounts of searches for different configurations and combinations of words that people have used as their search term. And certainly as people's familiarity with search engines and the internet increases with time, I mean, we've noticed this ourselves, you find that it's far more common these days for people to search for three words instead of one.
Yeah.
That they would have searched for 2 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
So people don't often put something like computers into a search engine now because they've realized over time and with a bit of experience of using search engines that's just going to return squillions of web pages which won't be targeted for what they're looking for if they want a Dell laptop computer.
Right, exactly.
So they put Dell laptop computer in the search engine and they get far more relevant results, obviously.
Right, okay. So we've got then the keywords covered. We've got a list of keywords. Take me through the process of writing an effective ad, because this is very difficult. I mean, we have very, very little space to actually write the ad.
Well, that's very true. And just for reference, Google allow 25 characters, including spaces, in the headline of the ad, 35 in each of lines 2 and 3, and a fourth line reserved for the URL of the page that the ad goes to when someone clicks on it. So you're right, there's not a lot of space there. But the really important point to include here is it's another one that advertisers and AdWords very rarely do well. And that's within an AdWords campaign, as we've already discussed, there can be numerous ad groups, and these will be separated out by the product groupings that we spoke about. And a good way to check whether you've got the right keywords grouped together is just to think to yourself, can I write one ad that will reflect all those keywords? And that's often a good check we use ourselves just to satisfy ourselves the grouping of our keywords within the different ad groups is a sensible one in terms of searches. And, for example, if you write an ad about the external drives that I mentioned above, mm-hmm, you don't want that ad to be displayed when someone searches for computer printers.
Right, exactly.
Because people aren't going to buy your drive.
Right.
Excuse me. Now, the important point that many advertisers overlook is that clicks on the ads for each ad group should lead straight to the product in the ad. not the home page of the site.
Okay.
So if your ad is about external drives, people clicking on the ad land at a page that features external drives and nothing else.
Okay.
And so many advertisers get that wrong. They make their ads go to their home page and then expect the visitor to find the product they were looking for. Well, obviously that just introduces another step in the process that doesn't need to be there.
Okay, so I don't want to send somebody to my homepage that has external drives listed somewhere on that homepage. I want to send them strictly to my external hard drive page.
That's exactly it.
Okay,
that's
cool.
That's it in a nutshell. And in terms of what to include in the ad that you asked about, there's really two important points and some supplementary points that usually achieve better results. I would say the two most important ones are if the search term is included in the ad, it appears in bold letters.
Okay.
We mentioned the dynamic keyword insertion facility earlier. And you can imagine that because the letters appear in bold, that is far more likely to get people's attention and to make them click than if they're all in the normal font face.
Right, okay.
And that invariably improves the amount of clicks or increases the amount of clicks you get. And what Google and most marketers these days refer to the click-through rate goes up considerably if you've got the keywords in bold lettering within the ad. So it's always worth including the keyword in the headline of your ad where possible. Secondly, trying to include a strong benefit of your product in your ad. And don't make the very common mistake of confusing benefits with features, which a lot of people do. Features are, if you like, the technical specifications of a product. But what you want to communicate is the benefit that your customers will experience with your product, rather than some technical details about it.